Good morning, church. How are you? Very good. Missed you, and good to see you again. How's that? We had a good week. I enjoyed it very much, and good to be back here. So let's pick up where we left off a couple of weeks, though. We've been in Matthew chapter 5, and we've been looking at the, what we commonly call the Beatitudes. And I want to start out with the first one there. Again, this is in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus starts out and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay. Now, I want to try and maybe unpack this a little bit in terms of being poor in spirit. And, you know, I guess a couple of weeks ago, instead of the word blessed, we kind of tried to expand that a little bit with the idea of welcome. So if you remember back to that, but let's try it another way here this morning. Let's put another word in there instead of poor in spirit and see what you think about that. Blessed are the broken, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the broken. You see, I want to give you a thought to think about here for a moment. And one of the things to keep in mind is that as we sit here this morning, even this crowd, we're all at different places, aren't we? There's all different kinds of things going through your head this morning. I suspect that, truth be known, some of you are really here. You're really listening. You're really into this. You're just waiting to hear what I got to say, right? Everybody say, no, don't raise your hand. I won't do that to you. But you're really there. I mean, there are others that, you know what, there's probably something on your mind that you're here in body, but the truth is, you're somewhere else. Because there's something that's really there that's bothering you. And we've got the whole spectrum in between. It's all there. And so we come in different places. And one of the things that I want to suggest to you as we talk about this poor in spirit, and I'll elaborate on this a little more in a moment, but maybe poor in spirit and broken is not something we strive for so much as a place where we find ourselves. Does that make some sense? Well, I'll work on that a little bit further on down here as we get into it. But maybe this is not something that we say, I am going to work on being poor in spirit. Maybe it's a place where we just find ourselves sometimes. And I suspect if you've lived any length of time at all, you've probably been broken at some point in time or another. Any broken people here this morning? Is there some brokenness? Yeah. Did you go looking for brokenness? Probably looked for just the opposite, didn't you? In general, we look for wholeness, don't we? Integration, where everything's working together. But very often, probably without exception, we find ourselves at a point where we're finally poor in spirit and broken. So it's not something so much that we strive for as a place where we find ourselves. Okay? Now, that's good. That's good. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the idea of these Beatitudes. Maybe it could be the idea of, you know, welcome to the poor in spirit. Welcome to the meek. Welcome to those that mourn. Welcome to those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you could go through that whole list and talk about that. You see, brokenness is a hard place to be. Like I said earlier, nobody strives for that. I'm striving to be broken. I want to be hurt. I want to be torn down. And yet we find ourselves there. And I'm here to say, as I'm going to say time and time again as we work our way through this series that we're going to be doing, is the best place you can ever find yourself is at the feet of Jesus. So when you're broken, if you find yourself as poor in spirit and broken, the best place you can find yourself is at the feet of Jesus, because this is where God does His best work. This is where God does His best work. You see, brokenness very often we view as the end. The world has just collapsed. The world has just come to an end. It's all gone to pieces. And yeah, I guess if you're not at the feet of Jesus, maybe that is a legitimate way to look at it. Maybe so. I don't know. You got to make that up for yourself. But I am suggesting to you that if you are there at the feet of Jesus, if you're there, if you're sitting there, it's an ending, but it's also a beginning. It's a place where God can do something. Now, sometimes, I just want to throw this in for a moment. Sometimes, isn't that a cool picture? Sometimes the brokenness comes from a bolt from the blue. Right? Sometimes you're just moving along with life, and maybe you're not involved in anything you shouldn't be, or you're trying to move along the way you should, and it's just a bolt from the blue. And I threw that one in just because it was so cool. And then I found another one that I like better, because sometimes this is how I felt. Anybody else identify with that? Yeah. But I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of you're out there, you're minding your own business, you're doing what you're supposed to, and it's just that bolt from the blue that brings you to your knees. And maybe you didn't deserve it. Okay? And you find yourself there. Well, that's not really where I'm heading this morning. Because even if you're there, where's the best place to still find yourself? At the feet of Jesus, right? And there is still a blessedness that is there. But I wanted to get that out there. Sometimes we're brought to our knees and we're broken when maybe it isn't anything that we've done. You know, we've got a prayer request here at the end that we're going to bring up that was handed to me this morning. Some ACU students were killed, or an ACU student was killed. They were in an accident and one was killed. We're going to say a prayer for that family here at the end, or those families. Don't you think that's a bolt out of the blue for those parents? Yeah. Don't you think they're broken right now? You know, Karen Valdez is not with us today because her brother was killed Wednesday in a car accident. They're up in Amarillo. They're going to have the memorial service tomorrow. I think she feels a little broken. How do you think his wife feels? You know? So yes, there's those things that are those bolts out of the blue. And it doesn't change, though, the fact that the best place to be is still at the feet of Jesus. Okay? Here's where I want us to go this morning. And here's the thing that I want us to chase is pride. See, very often that bolt out of the blue comes because of our pride. How many people have been brought down by pride? Okay, finish this sentence, last word. Pride goes before a... Oh, okay, well, y'all didn't, you're not really enthusiastic there. Okay, that's all right. You know the answer though, right? Pride goes before a fall. I mean, we're all familiar with that. It's nothing new here. And what's interesting about it though is that very often the person that was so prideful and that has had the fall, everybody else has been seeing it for years, right? You've been seeing what's been set up. You've been seeing what's going to come. Now, to that person, it's a bolt out of the blue, right? Yeah, to them, they just haven't seen it. It's amazing how pride can blind us, isn't it? And that we can't see what's going on, that kind of thing. But pride. And I want to elaborate a little more on pride, and we're going to expand on that some more. But let's think about it this way. Let's come at it from another way. Now, this is I love this picture. This is looking down into a volcano. I've forgotten the name of it in Africa. So you can see that, I guess that's the magma pool down in there. Kind of an interesting looking view because I thought, I want an image of hell. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. Does that fit? Yeah. You see, very often, and I wanted this view of looking down because very often we think of hell as a move downward, right? You know, heaven, hell. I mean, that's kind of the way we'll point. Okay, maybe it's not legitimate, but it's a way that we'll do it. You know, we'll say, you know, he's with, you know, they're... Okay. We very often think of hell as something that's a downward movement. What I would suggest to you that very often hell is found as an inward movement. A movement inward. A movement inward toward yourself. Think of it this way. When I'm looking at this, trying to think, how am I going to explain this idea of being poor in spirit? And I've gotten the idea of broken out there. But the first thing I went to is, sometimes you look for opposites. So I thought maybe the opposite of poor in spirit might be something like this. Haughty. Prideful. Haughty and prideful. And you see this a lot. There are definitely a lot of haughty and prideful people. We run into them every day, don't we? Boy, I am so smart. If everybody would just listen to me. If everybody would just pay attention to me and listen and get in behind me, everything would be just fine. You know any of those? Amen? Yeah. Just get in behind me. If you would just hush and listen, I'll tell you how it's going to be. I mean, you run into those, right? There's that sense here of, you know what? I've got it figured out. I've got it figured out. If everybody would just pay attention, I've got this thing handled. And there's a real sense of loss here of, you know what? Maybe we really don't have it figured out and we need each other to figure it out. And fundamentally, we need Jesus to figure it out. Maybe we need Him. You see, I suggested to you earlier that poor in spirit is not something we necessarily strive for. We just find ourselves there. And I want to elaborate on that just a slight bit more. And especially where I'm coming at from this sense of pride and haughtiness and that kind of thing. Isn't there a certain irony in a person that says, I'm the most humble person I know? Right? In other words, it's kind of an interesting thing. How do you strive for humility? Generally, you don't. You just get brought there, right? You get humility by being humbled and brought low. And so, in other words, it's kind of an interesting little thing that even by trying to say, hey, I'm going to do all the right things. I'm going to, you know, if we find ourselves in a situation and something presents itself, and I'm being generic here, I can come up with a specific if you want me to, but let's say you've got a situation that presents itself and you act in the right way. You do the right thing. And then you feel a sense of pride. Yeah. And pride goes before a fall. Yeah. I hope that's making a little more sense here when I say this is something that you find yourself at. It's a very hard thing to strive for. It's a very, very hard thing to strive for. And when you find somebody that says, well, I pride myself on my humility, just go ahead and chalk that up as arrogant, right? Yeah. I pride myself on my humility. Yeah. Something there that can't be said. So again, I want you to get this idea that very often the road to hell is not downward, it's inward. I look to myself. I can figure this out. And if you think about it, there's a very strong sense of wanting to do that. There's a very strong sense. I feel that tug and that pull within myself. This desire to be able to stand alone, to be independent. I don't want to have to rely on anyone else. I don't want to have to ever rely on someone else for anything. Do you have that sense too? Am I the only one, or do the rest of you here think, you know what, I'd like to be able to just do this on my own, and I don't want to accept help? Yeah. I want to handle this myself. And in a sense, that's good, because we want people to stand on their own 2 feet. There's a good sense in which that can be done, right? But there's also the sense in which it can start to make us think, you know what, I can handle this myself. I can do this myself. Just leave me alone. Don't we hear that a lot in our society today? Just leave me alone. Yeah. All right. You see, connection's pretty important, isn't it? Connection is pretty important in realizing that we are connected, and that in fact we need the connection with each other. Because the more we start to believe that I can take care of myself and I can handle this on my own, there's two problems that can come out of this. One of all is, first of all, you're setting yourself up to not be helped because you're not going to accept it. You ever seen people that won't take the help they need because of pride? The other thing that I see is this idea that sometimes when you get into that position, you're also not very good about helping. That can come along too. And through all of this, there's really a deception, isn't there? I love the expression, he started out on second base but thinks he hit a double. Yeah. Started out on second base, and he was just put there, but he thinks he hit a double. And we don't realize how much has been given to us that is beyond us. Yeah. So we're getting the point here. This poor in spirit, I don't know if that's something you walk out of here today going, man, Barry convinced me I've got to be poor in spirit. You know what? I just want to say this. It's going to happen. How's that? Don't worry about that one. You're going to get it. Something is going to bring you to your knees. Something will do it. There is going to be a point in your life when you're like, I'm broke. I'm broken. I'm broken. Now, there's that second part to this. We've talked about being poor in spirit. So there's a second part I want to get into in this idea. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let's unpack that for just a moment. Let's unpack that and we'll be finished here. I've said it now, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again in the future. One of the best things you can do as you work your way through these Beatitudes, as we call them, as you work your way through those and as you try to make sense of all this in your life, because you're going to come back to it time and time again, and hopefully as you come back to it, your understanding is going to grow and get better and that kind of thing. The most important thing here is to what? Keep showing up. You show up at the feet of Jesus. That's where you are. That's where healing begins. There is no better place to be. Well, when we get done with this little series near the end of the year here, there's one thing you're going to know and be able to say. Barry taught me the last couple months of this year, show up at the feet of Jesus. Okay? That's the one thing. If you get that, I'm going to feel like I've done my job. There's something else here I want you to note. Whoops. Sorry. The blessed, we don't see this in English, but the blessed is plural. It's blessed ones. There's a pluralness to it. And as I want to apply it here to this sense of being blessed are the poor in spirit, one of the things I want you to realize is that if you are sitting here this morning and you're saying, yep, I'm there, I'm broken, I want you to know you're not the only one. Jesus wasn't looking out at that group out there, or even to his disciples, and I've included the group because I think they're listening in, okay? He's not looking thinking, well, there's only one here that's broken. I have a feeling he knows that there's a lot of brokenness. It's a plural. You are not the only one. I believe that I love tools. Tools are neat. You know, just do all kinds of different things. I love them. And so I can imagine Satan with his toolbox. He's got different tools that he pulls out to do different jobs. And one of the great tools that I think he can pull out and use and make an adjustment on you is if he can convince you you're the only one. If you're the only one that feels this way, if you're the only one that has thought this thought, if you're the only one, then he can convince you to keep quiet and that inward spiral just keeps going and you find yourself in hell. And I don't mean hell in a judgment sense. I mean, just hell is a bad place to be, where you don't want to be. If he can convince you, I'm here to tell you, you would have to be completely unique. I mean, in some kind of a strange way. If whatever it is you're struggling with this morning, or whatever it is trying to break you or has broken you, if you're the only one sitting here this morning that's ever struggled with that. You're not. You are not the only one. I don't know how many times I have counseled people, and one of the words that will bring relief to them is when you say, did you know that's normal to feel that way? Did you know that is normal because you feel the way that you do? Really? You're kidding. No, that's normal. So one of the first things here is to realize that you're not the only one. You are not unusual. The blessed in all of these is plural. It's plural. Now, if you're broken and you're ready to start the mending process, one way, and again, I'm coming back to this idea that the road to hell is very often not downward but inward, is chances are you need to look outward. You need to look outward. If you can start to look outward and say something to the effect of or convince yourself is that, you know what, maybe there is some help out there. Maybe there is some help out there. That's huge. And I guess you can't help it. Sometimes you just preach to your own experience. I'm just telling you that for me, it's the hardest thing in the world to ask for help. It is a hard thing to ask for help. And I'm not the only one, right? Yeah, it's plural. It's plural. I see it time and time again. You'll see it when you're working with a couple. And, well, the reality is you'd like to work with a couple, but you've only got one because the other one is doing what? I mean, the marriage is dying. The marriage is dying. It's going away. You've got one person sitting there in front of you that's wanting to try and save it. But how many does it take to make a marriage work? Two. Not a trick question. Yeah, it takes two. And I've seen it time and time again that you've got one there and they so desperately want the other one there, but the other one has too much pride to listen and to look outward. I'll fix my problem myself. The way to begin healing at the feet of Jesus is to learn to look outward. And well, I guess that's really what gets you at the feet of Jesus, isn't it? Is this ability to look outward. Now, another thing, and this is part of this outward movement. One of the things that needs to be done is take the darkness that's in you. And I'm just using that word. You can put the one you want to there, but I would suggest to you that, okay, let's define it this way. What am I talking about by darkness? Darkness is that part of you that you're not so proud of, that you just assume nobody knew about. How's that? Everybody got that? I do. There's things about me I don't want you to know. Yeah? Take the darkness that is in you and learn to shine a light on it. Learn to shine a light. I love this illustration that, you know, how to clear the room of cockroaches. Turn on the light. I lived in a dorm. I know. You turn the light out, they're still there. They're just what? Hiding. But turn the light on. The cockroaches will scatter. They don't want to be in the light. It's the same thing there. Whatever the struggle is, whatever it is, if you can learn to start shining a light on it, it makes a difference. And that can come in a lot of different ways. But you know, one of the first places it might help and it might be a start is if you could just confess it to God and put real words to it. You want to know one of the things I do? Now, this is just me. If this helps, great. If it doesn't, just stow it. Put it in your Bible and move on. Just tuck it away. You know, when I'm really struggling with something, one of the things is if I can actually pray it out loud, where I have to hear myself say the words, I was wrong when I did this. Or I was pride, or whatever it is. In other words, if I will just start off at first by being willing to confess it to God, and there is something about me, if this doesn't help you, that's fine. There's something about me, if I can say it out loud so that I've got to hear it. Lord, I sinned. Because I don't like to say that. I don't like to hear it. But shine the darkness on it. And I want to suggest to you that there is something very powerful about if you can ever reach a point where you're willing to share that with someone else. I don't mean it has to be the whole crowd. But there is something very powerful if you can learn to share it with someone else. And that comes back to the point I made earlier about you're not the only one. I promise you there is somebody else that has struggled with whatever you're struggling with and has come through on the other side, and there is nobody better to confess to. There's nobody better to confess to and be able to say, wow. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to end with this little story. I tried to trace the history down on this, and I couldn't do it. So after 30 minutes, I gave up. I mean, you spend time on the internet trying to chase down the origin of something. So I don't know who to give this credit to, but here's the story. So one guy said he heard it 20 years ago from his mother. So it's been floating out there. If you've heard it, well, you need to hear it again. Okay? It's the difference between heaven and hell. So the holy man and the Lord, they're talking. The holy man was having a conversation with the Lord one day and said, Lord, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like. The Lord led the holy man to two doors. He opened one of the doors and the holy man looked in. In the middle of the room was a large round table. In the middle of the table was a large pot of stew, which smelled delicious and made the holy man's mouth water. The people sitting around the table were thin and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles that were strapped to their arms, but each found it impossible to reach into the pot of stew, and take a spoonful. But because the handle was longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The holy man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. It's got to be bad, doesn't it? See what's there. So you know what you want. The Lord said, "You have now seen hell." They went to the next room and opened the door. It was exactly the same as the first one. There was a large round table with a large pot of stew, which made the holy man's mouth water. See, it would have been barbecue if I was telling this story. The people were equipped with the same long-handled spoons, but here the people were well-nourished, plump, laughing, and talking. The holy man said, "I don't understand." "It's simple," said the Lord. "It requires but one skill. You see, they have learned to feed each other, while the greedy think only of themselves." See, very often when we wind up poor in spirit and find ourselves in some sort of a hell, it's not because we've been traveling downward, but it's because we've been traveling inward. And we need to start to travel. We need to start to trip back out, because that's where healing will be found. Amen, church? All right.